She was right to be wary, because life in the mosque was not easy. The apartments of Muhammad's wives were so tiny that it was almost impossible to stand upright inside them. Muhammad did not have a house of his own. He passed the night with each of his wives in turn, and her hut became his official residence for the day. There was practically no privacy, as Muhammad was constantly surrounded by crowds of people. He had frequent visits from his daughters and grandchildren. He was devoted to Hassan and Hussein, the sons of Ali and Fatima, and was especially fond of his little granddaughter, Umama, whom he would carry into the mosque on his shoulders. He was constantly closeted with his closest companions. Abu Bakr, Zayd, Ali, Uthman, and, increasingly, Omar. As he became more widely respected in Arabia, he also received delegations from the Bedouin tribes, who crowded into the courtyard with their camels. When he left the mosque after prayers, hordes of petitioners herded around their prophet, pulling at his garments and yelling their questions and demands into his face. They would follow him into his wife's hut, thronging around the table so tightly that it was sometimes impossible to pick up a morsel of food. This was stressful for Muhammad, who was shy, fastidious, and sensitive to unpleasant bodily odours and bad breath. He was also getting older. He still had only a few grey hairs, and walked so energetically that his feet scarcely seemed to touch the ground. But he was nearly 60, a not inconsiderable age in Arabia. He had been injured at Uhud, and the constant pressure was beginning to tell on him at a time when the whole of Medina was waiting in terror for the inevitable return of the Meccan army, and the Ummah was more divided than ever before. This internal dissension became apparent as soon as Salama took up residence in the mosque. Aisha fiercely resented the arrival of this distinguished superior woman, and a rift developed in the harem that reflected tensions within the Ummah itself. Salama represented the more aristocratic emigrants, while Aisha and Hafsa, the daughters of Abu Bakr and Umar, came from the more plebeian party in power. Each of Muhammad's wives sided with one of these two rival factions. Salama often relied upon the support of a third group, the Ahl al-Bayt, the people of the household, who were members of Muhammad's immediate family. At the time of her marriage to Muhammad, these divisions were only in their infancy. But it would soon become clear that the Ummah was not a monolithic group, and that the people who entered Islam had done so with very different expectations.